I can't begin to talk about Sarah without talking about Abraham. And I can't begin to talk about Abraham or Sarah without talking about the sovereignty of God. Our God is a sovereign God. Nothing in this world happens by chance, or he's not surprised that anything happens. He's the almighty, independent, final, ultimate authority over his creation and this earth and the heavens and all that we can see and look up and that we can't see is under his control. And he's a sovereign God. And I'm going to turn to, I got three scriptures that I'd like to share with you that tells us a little bit about God's sovereignty. Turn to John 1, verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God is sovereign. He made everything. Then we can turn to Romans. Book of Romans 11, 33 through 36. And I'll read that. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk about God's sovereignty in my life before I knew him. Before I was saved, and I'm sure we can all think back on before we knew the Lord, some of the paths that we were walking down. And I'm not going to go into exact incidents, but I can remember things that happened that if it was not for the sovereignty of God, I wouldn't be here today. You know, and I'm sure many of you can think back on things. And even though at that time when those things were happening to me, I did not see it as God's sovereignty on my life. But as a saved person and looking back, I know it couldn't have been nothing else but his sovereignty. Because there's no way. I mean, the paths and the things that we choose and the things that we decide to do can lead to destruction to our lives and to those around us, not just us. It causes other problems. Sin, whenever sin is followed, that path of sin, it's never just individualized. It always involves other people and other situations. So I want to talk about Sarah. In Genesis, she's called, at the beginning, she's called Sarai or Sarai. I asked my iPad, how do you say S-A-R-A-I in Hebrew? And my iPad said Sarai or Sarai. So I think I'll call her Sarai until God decides to change her name. And then I will refer to her as Sarah. So we're introduced to Sarai in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Let's turn to that. Genesis 11, 29. I love the word of God. It's always a blessing. It says, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And that's what God tells us. A little bit before that, it tells us that Terah had three sons, and it tells us even about one of the sons passing away and about another son who her father was. But it doesn't tell us, it doesn't tell us at this point. It only tells us that Sarai was the wife of Abram at this point. And that's how God introduces her to us. And the second thing that he tells us is that she was barren. Now, this is just my personal opinion, why I think God tells us that in the beginning. And I think that he's going to show us his sovereignty in her life. And he also wants us to know the pain and the suffering that she went through, being barren at the time that she lived. And in her culture, from what I've read, it was like a shameful thing to not be able to give your husband a child. So it's already hard enough if as we as women want to have children and can't have them. That's got to be a personal hardship for any of us who would have to go through that. And for her, she had the personal pain of it. She also had the cultural pain of it. And she had the spiritual pain of it, because before the call, there's no indication when she's introduced to us that she's a saved person, or she doesn't have the promise at this point. And if you look in the book of Joshua 24, let's turn to that, Joshua 24. See what the Bible tells us there. Verses 2 and 3, okay? And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, which is the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. I never really even thought about that before. I mean, I knew she was barren, but I never thought about how that must be when you don't have God and then you can't have a kid and you have this culture looking down upon you, how hard that must have been for her. It says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So at this point, when she's introduced to us, there's no indication that her, or the Sarai or Abram knew the Lord at that point. And the next thing that, so it's got to be hard. I had, so far as barrenness, I can't personally tell you I have three children of my own, but I have a neighbor who could not have children, and I can't even tell you the sadness that I saw her go through as she tried all these different methods unsuccessfully. So I can't even begin to feel what Sarai must have felt, not knowing God, not being able to have a child, and culturally the pain of all of that and the shame of it all at that time. So I'm making a point of this so that because God calls Sarah faithful in the end. So, but you, when I'm telling you some of these stories of Sarai, you're going to see that she made a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of decisions that were not of God. But she was not a baby. I don't know exactly what age she was when they got married. But we bring, when we don't know the Lord from a young age, we bring a lot of baggage. And they lived in a land where people did not serve God. So that had to have an impact on their lives also. So we bring a lot of baggage with us when we get saved later in life. I was 30 years old when I got saved. So I had all the ways of the world coming to Christ. Now here I am, this bundle, do something with me. I made a lot of mistakes, and I still do today. You know, over 30 years later, I'm still not what God wants me to be. So as I unfold some of Sarai's story, understand that at the beginning, when we were first introduced to her, they didn't know God until God called Abram to follow him. And so I'd like to talk about that call. And that's in Genesis 12. Okay. Just a second. Okay, 12, 1 through 4b. That's as far as I want to go. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this is the part. I know that at this point, and apparently there must have been some knowledge of the true God even in the land that they lived in, because look what Abram does. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. So he immediately believed and obeyed. So I can't say exactly when they gave their lives to the Lord, but I'm thinking at this point, and in their land, there had to be some teaching of the true God, the biblical God, the God of the Bible. It had to be, because when God called him, he followed. And Sarai followed with, because Sarai was a faithful wife to her husband. So God called them, and they followed. So at this point, now we know that they know the Lord, and they believe in the promise of God at this point. and Sarah is still barren, so they still have all these old ways, but now we know they're going to follow. And God called them, didn't tell them where they were to go. He just said, get on this journey and follow to the land that I will show you. And they believed, and they followed. So now, I'm going to talk about some of the trials that they faced. The story of Sarai is a long story, so I'm pointing out the trials right now because I want you to see the sovereignty of God and how he cares for us and how we can grasp the mistakes that they made and the sovereignty of God. And then when we are faced with trials in our life, that we will be able to turn to his word, because we have the Bible. It's fulfilled. God has fulfilled his word. And so we can look into his word and we can know the direction that he wants us to go in any trial or that we may face. So I'm thinking the first trial that the Bible tells us about is they're on their journey now, and they're traveling, and the land that they were in, there's a famine in the land. So they decided that they were going to go toward Egypt. But there was a problem there. There was a problem because, and Sarah wasn't young, but the Bible says she was beautiful. We can't relate to that because at 65 and 75, we're going downhill. We're not peaking and looking beautiful. And kings and kings are not after us, you know. They're not for our looks, unless maybe you have some money or something. But I just thought I'd throw a joke in. But I mean, honestly, I'm 62 years old, and I got pictures when I was, you know, younger, and I looked a whole lot better than I do now. But Sarah was beautiful, you know, that so much to that Abraham was afraid. He was afraid that the Pharaoh, when they saw her, because he had a little talk with her, he said, you know, when we go down here, these princes, they're going to see you, and they're going to see your beauty, and because of your beauty, they're going to want to kill me because I'm your husband, because I guess that's what they did in those cultures. We can't relate to that today, but that is how their culture was, so... He asked her, he said, Sarai, at that time, Abram said, tell them that you are my sister, and then my life would be spared, you know, because they're going to kill me if they know. You're so pretty, and if they know that I'm your husband, that's it for me. They're just going to kill me and take you. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow, okay, because now he's asking her to sacrifice her body in a way that God would not want us to sacrifice our bodies. But he's asked her to do that. And Sarai loves Abram. And she does not want her husband to die. And she sacrificed and she obeyed. And she followed him in that. I'm not standing here to tell you to follow anybody in sin, but this is the scripture. This is what God said. Sarai, she obeyed. Now, of course, we know that we know the story, so we know that God's not going to let it happen. So the princess saw her, and of course, the Pharaoh wanted her, and he took her in to be his wife. And now this is where God comes in with his sovereignty. God has a plan for Sarah. Sarah is going to be the mother of nations. She cannot become that being the wife of Pharaoh, because the promise is to Abraham, her husband. So God intervenes at this point. And he puts plagues on Pharaoh's house. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how Pharaoh knows that these plagues are directly related to her, but he knew. They were directly related to her. And he, you know, called Abram and he said, I don't know why you've done this, you know, but God's put these plagues on us and I'm going to have to give her back to you. And he did not touch her. And so God's sovereignty protected her. And I'm thinking, if there's a scripture, Hebrews 13:6, let me turn to that. There's a scripture for us. And to me, this is God's sovereignty. Let me turn to Hebrews 13:6. Okay. And this is 6b. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, there's our sovereignty. So if we ever fear what a man or a woman or anybody on earth can do to us, the Bible tells us that God is our helper. And he was their helper. God intervened, and he protected them in their time of weakness and their time of fear. And you, in their culture, we have to remember that that culture is totally different from what we deal with today. But somebody could study our story today who is not in this culture that we're in, because some things I think we don't even realize in our culture that controls us, even as Christians, and the mistakes we make because of it. So somebody 200 years from now can look at my story and go, how does she do that? You know, you can easily say that. But our God is our helper, so we don't have to fear what man can do. And Abram and Sarai did not have to fear either. God intervened, and he protected her. So I'm going to go to another trial that they faced, okay? Because, you know, Sarah was fully aware of the promise that God made to Abram. Sarai was fully aware of that. And time was passing. She was getting older. And she did not have any children still. And she knew that God had made that promise to Abram that, you know, through his seed, the whole world would be populated and he would be supposed to have the promised child. And this had not happened yet, and time was passing. And so she probably became weak, because the trial I'm going to tell you about, she would have had to be weak at this point. And worried and trying to figure out, you know, how is this ever going to happen? Change of life comes, you know. So Sarai decided she was going to do something to help this plan. So I'm going to read to you Genesis 16:2. It says here, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And the Bible continues to tell us, and Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now we know the story. Hagar is the maid. And Sarah thought that she would be able to have children through her. We never have to do anything. There's nothing that when God's word is God's word. We don't have to do anything to help it along, okay? Not a thing. So because of this, this caused a lot of problems. Hagar conceived. Now, Hagar starts to feel like she's better than Sarah, and she became haughty over her and despised her. Now, Sarah, being a human being, is not very happy about that. Okay, so now she's, have you ever made a mistake and then you start going back, well, so-and-so did say this. Well, yeah, I mean, I told him, but he didn't have to listen. He could have told me back. You know what I'm saying? So she started going over reasons why, you know, this happened and not really taking it for herself and saying and getting upset about it. So Abram said to her, well, I mean, you have rule over this maid. Do with her whatever you please. And the Bible tells us that she dealt harshly with her. So harsh that Hagar left. Okay? But God sent her back. Because that is what God's plan was. God sent her back. So she came back. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and his name was Ishmael. I'm not going to go into the fact that God did go to Hagar and all that and spoke to her and told her what to name him and what kind of person he would be and all that. I mean, you can read Genesis, but because that's not my focus. My focus is God's sovereignty and how he protected his plan and how Sarai and Abram made mistakes and had trials in their life, but God came there and to reassure them that, because he would come to Abram in visions and say, I'm going to keep my covenant between me and thee. You know, at the end of different little trials that they went through, they even went through the the trial of Sodom and Gomorrah, and still no child at this point. So, and it's a lot of different little trials they went through, but I'm not going to go through all of them because it can take a while. You can take a long time teaching about this because there's a lot about Abraham, and you can't teach about Abraham without teaching about Sarah. So it caused a lot of strife when we do things our own way. It's never a blessing when we choose to follow our way and not follow God's plan for our lives. So, and Sarah, I recognize that because Hagar was something else. And even later, I'll tell you more about Ishmael. And after these things would happen, God would come and appear to Abram to strengthen him and to tell him. After all this happened, he would still come to him. So now I'm going to skip over to when God came to Abraham, to Abram, rather. And he told him, he was 99 years old. And he said, I'm still keeping my promise to you. I'm not going to change that promise. It's still between me and thee. And through you, I will bless the nations. And he said, so now I want to change your name. He wants to change his name, and he's going to change Sarai's name at this point. And God told Abram, he said, your name is going to be Abraham, because you're going to be the father of many nations. And Sarai's name is going to be Sarah, because number one, God considered her the princess, and also she was going to be the mother of nations. Notice all this time, God still hasn't said anything to Sarah. But she's fully aware because her husband, I'm sure that he's sharing all these things with her. And she knows she's fully aware of God's promise. So God told him about how circumcision and how Abraham got the whole house circumcised and how he was following. Because Abraham in the New Testament, the Bible says Abraham was faithful. Sarah was faithful. I'm telling you of the trials, but they were faithful. They loved God. God doesn't tell us every single thing. Because when he got the call, Abraham was 75 years old. And Sarai was 65. So she and a lot of other things must have happened in their life that God doesn't tell us about. But he does tell us in the New Testament that they were both faithful and they both believed in the promise. So we know that that's true in spite of all the mistakes that they made. And as I told you earlier, I'm focusing on those because I want you to see the sovereignty of God. When I look at Abraham and Sarah, I just see God's sovereignty. So he told him that he's going to have a child. He said his name is going to be Isaac. You're to name him Isaac. And it's going to be through Sarah at this point. She's going to be the mother of nations. And you're going to be the father of nations. And the Bible goes on to tell us how Abraham fell on his face. And God told him all about it. And then how he followed and had everybody circumcised. And so on and so forth with that. And that they're believers, and now time is passing. A lot of Sodom and Gomorrah, all those things happen after that. Now, they're faced with the same trial that they were with the Pharaoh. So now here is another trial. The same thing happens over again. Abimelech. Now, Abram was afraid because he felt the land that Abimelech lived in, that they had no fear of God. So now Sarah was old at this time, but she must have been beautiful. I can't even picture it. I can't, because who do you know that's 90 or 89? I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, we say they're beautiful, but, you know, they're wrinkled up and everything. Well, we do. But this lady was so beautiful that kings desired her. That's a different kind of beauty that I don't think we can know about at the age of 90. So... Of course, Abimelech, he took her in. She passed, did the same thing. I'm his sister, because he was afraid that these people did not have any fear of God in them. So therefore, they're going to kill him again, he felt. They're going to kill me. So, of course, Sarah being a faithful wife, she did it again. This is 25 years later that she did this. And then Abimelech, God came to him in a vision. Because see, the Bible says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's for us today, because they didn't have that scripture then, but God still stepped in and he spoke to Abimelech in a dream. And he told him not to touch her. Get your hands off of her, give her back. Because I think a year after that, she was having a baby. She was going to have Isaac, and nothing's going to frustrate God's plan, because God is sovereign. Nothing we do is going to frustrate that plan. So, just because that Abraham and Sarah made these mistakes, they're still found faithful in the eyes of God. I want to read, because now we can think back on times that we messed up, even on the same thing more than once. God picks us up. I got scripture once. I'm going to go to Psalm 145. I'm going to read three scriptures to you about how God will help us at a hard time in our life. Go here. You see, it's already getting late, and that's why I know you can't do this whole story, because there's a lot more that I skipped over because for time's sake. But anyway, let's go to Psalm 145. 14. Psalm 145, 14. This is for us today. The Bible says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. And then it goes on to, I'm going to go skip down to 17. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And then we go down to 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So our God is a righteous God. If we fall and we repent, our God will pick us up. So even though Abraham and Sarah made the same mistake twice, both times God showed his sovereignty in their lives and he gave them grace and mercy and protection. And that's what we can have from our God. All of our lives, as long as we stick to his word and we walk with him. And when we fall, he will raise us up if we ask. Because the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So now I'm going to go to God's fulfillment of his promise. So God, now he comes to Sarah this time and he visits her, and Sarah gets pregnant and has a baby at 90 years old after she's gone through the change of life. And I think, and I like this, I like to think this, that he did it when no one can say that he didn't do it. Because who can have a baby after the change of life? It just doesn't happen back in their culture or in our culture. Those things don't happen. And that reminds me, when the Bible says we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. So Ishmael was not the promised son, Isaac was. And that's who God blessed Sarah with, Isaac. And I would like to end right there, because now we got the manifestation, the fulfillment of God's promise in Sarah's life. But it doesn't end there. Because now Ishmael still exists, right? And this is going to really seem harsh, but God okayed it, because Sarah was watching one day, the Bible tells us, and she saw Ishmael making some type of fun of Isaac. Because I think Ishmael was 14 years older than Isaac. I think he was 14 when Isaac was born. So, of course, Sarah didn't like that. So Sarah sent Hagar and Ishmael away. Now, God did give them grace. She sent them away, God gave them grace, but that's not what my focus is. Because Abraham did not like that. He was displeased with that. But God wasn't. God said, no, she's done the right thing. Because God wants separation. There's no mistake. on his work in the work of the world. So it looks bad, and it may seem harsh that she sent them away, but the world and God can't live together. This is just not God's plan. It doesn't work that way. So the Bible tells us that God okayed this, that this was okay. So I'm going to give us some scriptures that help us with that. If you're a little bit confused about how could you do something, you know, Hagar and Ishmael, you just sent them away out with nothing. But God said it was okay. We don't always understand the ways of God, but his ways are always righteous. Because the Bible says the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And then I would like to go and read to you Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Okay, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So, it doesn't matter what we think. God is sovereign. His ways are higher than ours. His mind is higher than ours. He made us. This is his creation. So, who are we to look up to him and say what we think? It doesn't matter. God has told us how to think. In Romans, he says, renew your mind. Beseech you. Give your body wholly acceptable by the renewing of your mind so that you may know and you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And to strengthen us, I would like to read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it's very familiar, I'm sure, to everybody. But this is to strengthen us in our times of hardness. Looking back on Sarah's life and how God, you know, Sarah and Abraham and how God intervened and he showed his sovereign power. They didn't have to worry. And remember in Hebrews for ourselves that we won't fear what man can do to us. And here we go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So, our God is a sovereign God. His word is holy and it's to be followed. We're to take our lives and walk with the Lord and to, if you're confused, open up the Bible. Go to someone who knows the Bible. So what I get from Abraham and Sarah's life is that our God is a sovereign God and we can trust in him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen for his sovereignty. Thank you.